Chapter 25. Faith in Fire. A deep wound had been torn in the chalice of fire, and though it had been sealed off and the deck made safe, it remained a chink in a flank of otherwise sturdy armour. It had not been Ulloch's intent to make such a breach when he unleashed the Obstinate's guns. He had wanted Regulus to himself, and would countenance no others reaching the Adept and either capturing or killing him. All of this was now immaterial, as a new obsession had usurped the old, and violent providence had provided a way to realize it. A solitary gunship ghosted in through the ragged aperture, its lamps dulled, its engine near silent, and every inch of it undetectable by auger or sensorium of any kind. Stealth had ever been the most formidable weapon of the 19th. It had not availed them on Istvan V, for there can be no subtlety in a massacre. But the Raven Guard well knew its value all the same, and had honed it to the fine edge of an assassin's knife after their near annihilation. Since then the art of the unseen had come to represent something else, something more instinctual. Survival. The lone son of Korax aboard knew about survival, for he had attended the massacre which had claimed not only his voice, but so many of his brothers and their allies. What had begun as a righteous endeavour to bring an errant Primarch to heel, the Primarch, had turned into something much uglier and more desperate. As the first barrage of bombs came hurtling down, many had believed it to be a mistake, even though such errors amongst the Legiones Astartes were inconceivable. Even with bodies flying through the smoke-choked air, their limbs and heads missing, some still clung to the lie that it had been unintended. When the legionaries, who were meant to reinforce the Raven Guard and their allies, turned their guns, then everyone knew the truth. Some railed, shouting their defiance. They died quickly and unheroically, blown apart or hacked down with their curses left unspoken. Others attempted to fight back as if they still had a chance of victory. These were the Drakes. They lasted longer, but died all the same. The Gorgon's sons fought for vengeance, with indignation in their hearts. They fell alongside the headless corpse of their father, as another lie was exposed with the mortality of Primarchs. Most fled, realizing the cause lost, and their oaths from others betrayed. The son of Korax had been such a legionary. Not out of fear, for such concerns were beyond him, but from the very instinct he had clung to ever since. Survival. To live and take revenge. The incendiary had killed his captain. It tore up his body and left transhuman offal in its wake. It killed a great many of his brothers, too, making a mockery of armor and physiologies designed to withstand war. The second explosion, when it came, detonated so close that he was ripped bodily into the air, and so loud that it robbed his dying brothers of their voices. Their screams became noiseless, their shouts angry, silent imprecations. He had become silent then. If his defiance could not be heard, then he would not voice it. No sound of agony would pass his lips either, a small thing that he could deny his erstwhile allies. And in his flight, clambering through wreckage and across burning and dismembered bodies, inured to the horror of it all, a paradigm began to form. Gone was brotherhood and fraternity. Survival and fatalism replaced it, to live and take revenge, only this, and nothing more. The gunship touched down amidst a clutter of wreckage in the night's black landing bay. Most of the detritus from the attack that had ripped out much of the embarkation deck had either been removed or wrenched into the void, but some still drifted languidly in the airless space. A ramp opened silently at the front of the ship, and the Raven Guard stepped out, again silent. Like the cavernous chamber, he too was night black, and blended so seamlessly as to be almost invisible. Only the faintest glow of his retinal lenses as he analyzed the atmospheric conditions of the embarkation deck betrayed his position. The son of Korax drew his sword. It had a sickle edge, a falchion, and had been forged of monomolecular plasteel. When activated, the sword would vibrate so rapidly and infinitesimally as for the motion to be nearly imperceptible. Its blade reflected no light, and in the shadows it appeared as if it were an extension of his body. A sealed access hatch, small and nondescript, used for maintenance, led out of the damaged embarkation deck and into a conduit that would allow further ingress into the ship. As the Raven Guard headed towards it, he listened keenly over the vox for a command. His name. And soon enough, he heard it. Morrigan. Zaul knelt in solemn reverie by the vault. It had been left in the secured dock since their departure from Prometheus, and though the room was sealed at either end behind a reinforced adamantium gate, exhaust vents from the forges below bled in heat and the tang of cinder. Smoke clouded the air, but only thinly. The heady atmosphere bordered on volcanic, nothing less than a balm to a warrior of Nocturne. And for a time Zaul basked in it. Obek had asked him to remain on board the Chalice of Fire to protect the artifacts. A pity, the chaplain reflected, that he had not been asked to wait alone.
I am damaged, Firefather,
a voice said from behind him, and Zaul sighed as he opened his eyes.
No more than any of us, he lied.
Zebduvar may have been referring to his burns and the scarification that ravaged his body, or his mind. Before Tekel had rallied, the unscarred, to fulfill his last mission for Vulcan, Var had sought out the reliquary often. He spoke of how his waking dreams were consumed by fire, that his every thought was obsessed by it. Pyromania, Zaul knew, but a profound version of it, in which Var believed he witnessed something in the flames.
I have seen things, he murmured. In the fire.
Vulcan, yes, you have said before.
You sound as if you do not believe, chaplain.
Zaul could not be sure that Var's reply wasn't directed at him in a more general way.
I believe you believe, he said, opting for diplomacy.
And you do not.
Zaul felt no barb in the question, but the sting of it was acute nonetheless.
I do not see what you see, brother.
I see much.
Zaul knew he could regret it, but it was his duty to minister to these warriors, and so he asked,
What have you seen, brother?
I will die here, on this ship.
Our fate was never to survive.
It will be soon.
His reverie clearly ended. Zaul got up and turned to Var.
None of us can know when we will die, brother, he said.
Sandu sees the burning man.
Zaul nodded, remembering his conversations with Sandu about it.
A dream, nothing more. How can you be so certain of your own fate?
Var's smile pulled at the ravaged canvas of his flesh. He was not alone. The last of his warriors were with him, but did not trouble the chaplain as their sergeant did.
I see it in the fire, said Var. A trail of smoke moving against the flame.
Zaul had often wondered if a touch of the weird did not resonate within Zebduvar. He had never had any librarius training, as far as Zaul knew, and most attributed his odd behavior to his pyromania. Some, those who knew the old ways of Nocturne, the ones who still knew where to find the nomadic earth shamans and who had sought their counsel, believed the flame to be alive, and that some of its vigor and fury were passed on to those who venerated it. Though there had not been a fire cult on Nocturne since before Vulcan's reunion with his father, the beliefs that had once perpetuated them still remained in part. Zaul considered Var might have found such an earth shaman, and looked into the fire too long. Of course, he could just be insane. Zaul rested his hand upon Var's shoulder guard.
No fireborn son should fear smoke from any flame. Least of all you, Var.
The sound of the gate to the secured dock opening made Zaul turn. He thought he saw a shadow move against the wall, but attributed it to the flicker of an internal lumen.
not a flame,
uttered Var.
A shadow.
As the gate began to split along its diagonal, its venting pneumatics clouded the air around it. Zoel gripped his Crozius mace, but it could be Obek returning. When he saw drake-green armor slowly emerging through the dissipating gas cloud, he frowned.
Firefist?
Zandu had come back to the Chalice of Fire, alone. As he walked towards them, he showed no sign of having heard or understood Zoel, his gaunt and ashen face as expressionless as the dead. Zoel went over to him and was about to hail Zandu again, when he realized what Var had just said. It echoed a word Obek had used before he had left for the Obstinate.
He's called the Silent, one of the Raven Guard. He fights like a shadow. A shadow, he began, remembering the flickering lumen as 3 feet of monomolecular plastile impaled his abdomen.
The blade came from behind, piercing up through Zaul's back and out again, its end a ruby-red spear tip. As the blade was withdrawn, Zoel fell forwards onto his hands and knees. Spewing up a gout of blood, he tried to draw his Crozius, but felt himself impaled a second time. Zoel heard Var shouting, and felt a surge of heat across his face as the shadows retreated into the periphery. His body fought to keep him functioning. His vision blurred, but then began to focus again. He got back up. The wound was agony, but kept him conscious. Staggering, he almost fell, but struck the side of the vault and stayed upright. Var's flamer lay in ruins as he and his warriors fought against the shadow. Morrigan the Silent moved so quickly that Zoel thought his eyes were fogging again, until he realized only the one in black was indistinct. A drake fell, slit from groin to sternum, all his insides fleeing his body in a wash of crimson. A second saw his combat blade parried, and a length of dark plastile penetrating his gorget and throat. Var and 2 others remained. As Zandu reached them, Zoel held on to a slim hope that he would intervene, but he seemed oblivious. Instead, he advanced on the vault, and Zoel regained his feet to bar the drake's way.
Hold!
He warned, aware that he held his Crozius in one hand and staunched the wound in his abdomen with the other. Zandu drew his gladius. It was almost mechanistic, the way he moved, with a coldness that looked alien in a son of Vulcan. Zoel fed a surge of energy through the Crozius that crackled along its length.
You forget yourself, brother, but I will kill you if you step any further.
Zandu kept going. A few feet away from him, and Zoel saw the bionics. Part of Zandu's wrist, one side of his neck. The armor hid the rest.
You should be dead, brother, he murmured,
and saw Var in the background, alone and reaching for the ruin of his flamer. Zandu lunged, carving a furrow in Zoel's shoulder and tearing up the joint between it and the torso. Blood gushed from the wound, slicking Zandu's sword, but the blow left him exposed to Zoel's counter, which struck his plastron and cracked it open. Zandu staggered, not in pain, if his face was any way to judge, but simply from impact. His chest plate had split, exposing burned and ragged mesh. The flesh beneath had been replaced with metal. Zoel struck again, a labored and half-parried swing that caved Zandu's left pauldron before he threw the chaplain aside. Bones cracked as Zoel hit the wall, dropping his Crozius. He slumped, his body failing him as he realized he had been stabbed again. He reached for his fallen Crozius, but his fingers touched the casket maglocked to his leg instead, as Zandu's shadow fell across him. His hand closing around the casket, Zoel knew it would be too late. But before the death blow fell, an explosion lit up the dock, erupting into conflagration. The blast threw Zandu against the vault. Heat prickled the side of Zoel's face, and a tremor ran through his armor that sent daggers of agony into his raw wounds. He turned, staring into the haze. Var lay on his back, burning. The Raven Guard burned too, his armor blasted by Var's improvised incendiary, but holding. He was laughing, the drake, and as he died in flames, declared,
Behold! Behold the burning man!
Zandu stopped. He had recovered his feet, and his gladius scraped the edge of Zoel's gorget. Zandu saw the flame. He saw the burning man. The fire had not reached as far as the armarium, But as the flames flickered in his glassy eyes, Zawul saw a brief moment of recognition. Giving a tortured shout, Zandu flung himself at Morrican. Still ablaze, the Silent turned and thrust his sword all the way through Zandu's body until it came out of his back. Thick smoke enveloped them as the fire took hold of both, as two darkened silhouettes of legionaries grappled for supremacy. Zawul broke apart the casket and took out the artifact that had been within. It resembled a highly ornate stave with a clawed draconic ferrule and a drake skull head, which hid a small emitter in its maw. Energy discharge, akin to a disruption field, thrummed through its haft from some concomitant power source. It looked ancient, though the design was unmistakably Vulcan's. Zawul grasped it in both hands, for it was a little longer than a gladius, and his strength was failing. Zandu had his hands around the Raven Guard's throat, slowly crushing it, but had sunk to his knees, his armor burning down to bare metal, his blood hissing wildly in the flames. Morrican fought frenziedly, having let go of his sword and now stabbing into Zandu's flank with a shorter blade. As the horrendous wounding took its toll, Zandu's grip loosened, enabling the Raven Guard to free himself. He staggered to his feet, burning brightly and dropping the short blade so he could yank out the falchion from Zandu's chest and end the fight. When his eyes met Zaul's and he saw the weapon the chaplain wielded, Morrican knew it was over.
"Nothing more," he rasped,
the first words he had uttered since Istvan, and the last words he would ever speak. A beam of crimson energy shrieked from the maw of the stave, a song of deep Drake's mourning, the sundering of the world. Morrican's already misshapen armor buckled and fragmented before it, cracking and breaking away, first into slivers, then flakes, and finally dust. Then came flesh and bone, as centuries of entropy were visited upon him in seconds. The maw widened, and so too the beam. It had cored through Morrican's chest, and now it bled across his entire body. Zawul clung on, the stave shaking in his grasp as he fought its volatile spirit. The Raven was no more. Only a shadow lingered where once there had been a legionary, and so he returned from whence he came. With great effort, Zawul deactivated the stave, understanding now the burden it represented and the reason it must be kept safe. As he sagged back against the wall, the edges of his vision crowded with blackness, and he saw Zandu bloodied but at peace, and Var, a rictus grin forever seared upon his dead face. Before oblivion took him, Zaul's gorget vox crackled to life.
"Firefather!"
It was Obek. His words were urgent, warning about Morrican and filled with determination. Zawul let him speak, for he had not the strength to interrupt. Instead, when Obek was done and had made his oaths to return with all haste to the Chalice of Fire, Zawul gave a shuddering breath, and just before he passed out, he uttered,
"Our legacy is safe."